from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's time now to go beyond the headlines. And for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hey, good morning. Happy Monday, everybody. That's James. I'm Kyle. We're rocking with you until noon. We have so much to get to in the Sacramento Kings realm. We had a wild-ass game at Golden 1 Center on Saturday between the Kings and the Knicks. And Mike Brown had some intriguing things to say at practice.
Shots fired, Kyle. Shots fired.
Shots were fired at somebody on this very program. We will have that sound for you. And then, James, you talked, you had a little one-on-one with Keon Ellis, which we will talk about some as well. But before we do any of that, some news came down this morning in the baseball world that I just wanted to touch on real quick. What the hell are the San Francisco Giants doing? It was announced today that Ronnell Brooks Moon, who has been their PA announcer for 24 seasons, is the voice of Oracle Pac Bell AT&T Park, whatever else it's been called.
They call it a lot of things. Didn't they call it SBC?
SBC, yeah, SBC Park was a thing as well. The voice of that stadium for going on 2.5 decades. An icon in San Francisco. Synonymous with the San Francisco Giants. As players have come and gone through Barry Bonds' record breaking and through World Series titles and through sellouts and lean years, it's been Ronnell. And the Giants announced this morning that Ronnell Brooks Moon will not be returning. They're going to name the PA booth after her. They'll throw a little plaque in there or something. Not because she retired. Not because she stepped away. Not because, she's done with this. She doesn't want to do it. No. Because they couldn't agree on a contract. The Giants went penny pinching in their PA booth. And instead of helping to celebrate this icon of their team and of their stadium and of this team's relationship with their city, they are punting and saying, we'll move on. We'll find someone cheaper. We'll find someone different. It'll be underwhelming. Everybody's going to hate it. But hey, we're saving a few bucks, so who cares? It's a joke, dude. This is a joke.
Yeah, it's horrible.
Can you imagine if the Kings just went, yeah, hey, couldn't come to contract terms with Gary Gerald or Scott Moak. I guess Scott Moak's better. He's a PA guy. Scott, he's going to go. We thank him for his time. See ya.
Onwards and upwards.
We'll hire someone new. Are you joking me?
Yeah, it's wild. You know, because
it's trash.
As someone who grew up going to A's games, like Roy Steele was
voice
the voice of God.
Yeah.
Absolutely incredible. And of course he lived in Auburn for some time. Like
yeah.
up my neck of
that
the woods.
That tracks. People who talk like that probably live in Auburn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he had to retire because he got chronic hiccups and couldn't shake the hiccups as he got older.
Brutal.
And they tried to, you know, like they had someone come in and fill in and like, and he did a great job too. And I can't remember his name, but
Dick Callahan.
Yeah. Yeah.
He passed away recently.
Yes, 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 yes. So anyway, it becomes like what you're used to listening to. You know, I grew up listening to Fred Anderson call Kings games inside the stadium.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And he was actually a deacon at my church. And I knew I graduated from high school with his daughter, still friends with her.
Mm-hmm.
And they it's part of your experience and part of why you go to the game. It's like when something's off, like there is nothing stranger than the game where Scott got sick. Scott may or may not have like had to attest come up in the middle of they had to come out and like have him leave in like the first quarter.
Mm-hmm.
And this was a couple of years ago. And all of a sudden we hadn't noticed because the guy who was calling the game, who took over, he clearly has done nothing but listen to Scott Moak his whole life and sounded very similar.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he said something that didn't make, like, it caught your ear, like, oh, that's not right.
Yeah,
I look down, I'm like, where the hell did Moak go?
Yeah.
And sure enough, like, I text him, like, where did you go?
Just
he goes, man, I had to exit the building.
Sure.
Like, oh, no.
Yeah, and I get, look, if... when something like that happens, like you said, it's jarring and you hear it, but okay, Scott's going to come back. If the PA announcer, steps down or retires.
Yeah.
Then you know what? It's a little different. It's jarring at first, but you get used to it. If you unceremoniously go, couldn't come to terms on a contract. Goodbye.
No.
That's never going to sound right ever again. Like you said, I grew up more at Roy Steele a little bit, but I definitely more remember Dick Callahan.
Mm-hmm.
When Dick Callahan stepped down, it was of his own accord.
Yeah, it was health
issues.
He steps
down, right.
Yeah.
And Amelia Shamel steps in, and I think she does a great job. And that's different than had it just been like, yeah, hey, we don't want to pay Dick Callahan. We're just going to bring in somebody else.
Well, like that Dick Callahan really did try to mirror Roy Steele.
Yes, and did a great job of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So I was at first. You know, when I first saw it, I was like, oh, Rennell's stepping down, you know, oh, good, you know, outstanding person. And she is, she's a just wonderful person. It's like, oh, okay. And then you start to kind of read into it. And they literally announced in the thing, couldn't come to terms on a contract. So
that's why
there's no terms. Whatever she wants, dude. She's a lifetime pass.
Yeah.
Keep her.
You're naming the booth after her.
Right. Keep her. You keep that person as long as you can.
Yeah, that's wild.
I get doing it with players because you've got your analytics and we think that we can spend $2 million and get the same production from these two players that the Dodgers are getting from Mookie Betts for tens of millions of dollars, 40 or 50 or whatever he's making a year. We think, okay, that if you want to do that on the baseball side, whatever. Doing that with Rennell?
It's wild.
It's a clown show, dude.
That's not good.
It's trash. Anyways, hopefully the Giants do the right thing here and Rennell is behind the mic for their home opener this season. That's the hope. Anyways, you know what it is?
It's ridiculous, and we're tired of it. An abomination.
Yes,
it is.
It is complete crap.
I have,
it's a complete crap.
Yeah.
This is completely BS.
We'll just keep running through it.
You can suck it.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Forgot we had that one in there.
Oh, no, we definitely do. The Kings lost... The Kings lost to the Knicks 98-91 on Saturday, and we'll talk about the merits of that game, whether it was a good or bad loss for the Kings. James, I think you and I disagree a little bit, but aside from that, something way more important happened yesterday.
I got to give Fox 40 News, Sean Cunningham, a little love. Where's everybody? We lose to the Knicks. Everybody jumps off the bandwagon. James, I'm really surprised at you. I love you, but I'm really, really surprised at you. So it's all about Fox 40 News and Sean Cunningham because nobody else showed up.
James Hamm, your response, please.
I did respond. I responded. I showed my wife.
You can suck it.
And my son the clip. We had a good time with it. I was laughing. My son popped off. My son is a basketball aficionado. He's a junkie.
Mm-hmm.
His response to the video, tell him I'll show up when the screen does.
Yeah.
And Mike had a good time with that.
I'm really surprised at you.
Unbelievable, dude. You take a day off.
You know how
you
many,
had a long week.
How many days?
You decide
it been?
To take a day off. Oh. Ridiculous.
And I Ridiculous. Did write. I did write all day. I mean, that's what I was doing.
Mm.
But I mean, you understand this week. This week was tough. This last week,
yeah, a lot of games.
The back to back like 15, 16 hour days. Like it took its toll.
Mm-hmm.
Not great. And like today's one of those days. But I didn't take a day off. I still wrote. But
Sean Cunningham was there. Yeah. Fox 40 Sean Cunningham in the building.
It's an hour drive down there, you know, on a Sunday. Like I was having a good little Sunday. I love it though.
All right.
Good for Mike for calling me out.
He's getting good for Sean getting one-on-one time with Mike Brown. All right.
That's right.
98-91 the final Saturday night. Man, lot to dive into here. I want to start up top real quick though before we get into the King side of this. Jalen Brunson can play, bro.
Kyle, we are wrong. He's a 1A.
You might think he's a 1A.
He's a 1A.
He does enough, and we talked about this a little bit, but my reservation was not his skill level. It was very clear how skilled he is. My question was whether a team with a 6-foot-tall point guard who doesn't play above the rim at all could do enough in the modern NBA to win a title. And man, with what Jalen Brunson can do in the paint with his footwork, what he's doing now from beyond the three-point line, there's just not a shot he can't get to, and there's not a place on the floor that he can't generate space. And I think that makes up for the typical shortcomings of a player of that style when it comes to being a 1A on a title team. So I think I'm more inclined to agree with you after watching closely.
Yeah, he turned into prime Dame.
He's just ridiculous.
I mean, the three-point shot's just like... just pulling it from wherever.
Yeah.
And, like, we're going to have to figure this out, like, at the end of the season. Like, the sight lines in Golden 1 Center, it's got to be the greatest shooting gym that there ever was. Like, they just, everyone comes in and seems, it doesn't matter if you're blanketed or not, it just seems like everybody comes in and they have no problems hitting every single thing that they take. And, I mean, Jalen Brunson was out there pulling up from like Kyle's house. Like it didn't matter how deep. Like it was way deep. You're like, what is happening? So like kudos to him for developing and becoming a great player.
Mm-hmm.
But my goodness, he was the only one.
Yeah, nobody else did anything on the Knicks.
No. They shut everyone else down. Like I thought it was gritty, man. I thought gritty both sides. That is like 90s basketball. It's gritty. It's
what the Knicks do.
Yeah.
They turn every game into that.
Yeah. Now, again, I would say this. If you played in the Eastern Conference and you played against the Knicks more times, like if the Kings were to play a 7-game series with the Knicks, I might take the Kings. I might take the Kings like in that series. Like I think it would be a 6 or 7-game series.
Mm-hmm.
But once you adjust to that style of play, and hey, let's not act like the refs are calling the game the same way. Like sure. Since the All-Star break, everything is different.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, even the 2-minute report came out and they fully missed Sabonis getting hit in the face multiple times at like 57 seconds left with the Kings down 3. He turns the ball over and they come back and say, yeah, he got hit in the head.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, okay, like, look, you probably should have called it since there were 3 people all watching him get fouled. So
I'm sorry, they scored 91 points.
No, it wasn't great.
I can't get behind railing on officials, dude. Like if they shot a lot
more free throws.
If a team's gonna play physical, and it takes you out of your offense completely, like that's a problem.
Yeah,
like that's the much bigger problem. The officiating stinks. Like that's been the case all year since the All-Star break. Tom Haberstroh has the numbers. They've been swallowing their whistles more.
Yes,
and letting players play. And the way the NBA officiates stars versus not stars and this team versus that team is a joke. It's a clown show and it has been.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't get behind, you know, 91 points is 91 points.
Okay.
It's tough. But yeah. We'll dive into it. We'll get into that. The Kings loss to the Knicks. Was it actually a good loss? Was there some benefit to this? James, you made an interesting point that I would like to dive into on this type of loss for the Kings. We also have to get into a game tonight because there's Kings, Grizzlies, kind of game they should dominate, but the kind of game they struggled in this year. We'll talk about that as well. All of it coming up on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Center. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. The Sacramento Kings lost to the New York Knicks 98-91 on Saturday. And now they're right back at it tonight at home against the Memphis Grizzlies, who sit at 23-45 entering tonight's game. And typically, it feels like last year this would have been a game that we would not have probably talked much about. That it would have... This is a game the Kings are rolling into, assuming the Grizzlies are at the same level of health. The Kings are going to roll into and they're going to win by a lot. And you'd feel really good about it. But this year, shorthanded team, worst team, coming into Golden 1 Center, hard to feel good about it.
This isn't even a shorthanded team. This is like a no-handed team.
They're just without hands.
It is. Like, there is no Jazz hands available.
They're the knight from Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
Yes, exactly.
No arms, no legs. Yeah. But they're going to bite your legs off.
I think it is the Black Knight.
The Black Knight, yes.
Yeah, yeah. They will bite your kneecaps, Kyle. They will bite your kneecaps.
Full Dan Quinn.
That's right. Look, this is a bad team, and they've been bad all season long. They had a little bit of reprieve when Ja Morant showed up for like 5 minutes, and then he went out with a torn labrum, I think, right?
Yeah, it was bad.
Some sort of shoulder injury. But, you know, he missed the first 25 games of the year. Steven Adams was going to miss the whole season, and they ended up trading him. Brandon Clark probably isn't coming back this season. Shout out to Brandon Clark, who is he's not from here, but his parents actually live where I live.
Mm-hmm.
So Brandon Clark is you know, sort of a local. He has a large local contingency that shows up to cheer him on. But, yeah, this is a team that's just fully beat up. And you know, the last time the Kings played them, they were able to sign like three guys off the street right before the game to fill out the roster. And they probably need to do so again.
It's insane. They have so many good players out. Brandon Clark, who you said, he might return this year, it sounds like.
Maybe, but I mean, why?
He's not going to play tonight.
He blew his Achilles last year.
Ja Morant out for the season. Yeah, you might get Brandon Clark in at the end of the year for a couple of minutes here and there just to get him on the floor and moving.
Yeah.
But not high-intensity 30-minute type of night thing. Ja Morant out, as you said. Scottie Pippen Jr., dealing with a shin thing, didn't play Saturday. Derrick Rose out. Marcus Smart out. Yuta Watanabe did not play Saturday for personal reasons. Vince Williams Jr.'s out. He's got a knee thing. Didn't play Saturday. It's like, man. Zaire Williams out with a hip injury.
Yeah, they're a train wreck. But that doesn't mean they can't score. Even Luke Kennard, I think, is out. Who started the other night. Luke Kennard, I believe, is out. So, yeah, this is a mess. Yeah, he's out for personal reasons for this game. Personal reasons, probably. I don't want to play for this bad team.
The more players we say are out, the more nervous I get.
Yeah, even Vince Williams Jr., who I thought, you know, like he had a little run there where he played well, he's doubtful. Yeah, this team is a mess. And
John Conchar is going for 30 tonight.
Maybe. Triple J go beat you up. I don't know. This is a team that, you know, I think everyone just thinks they're going to step right back in and be really good.
I certainly do.
And I don't. I don't think that they're going to be very good because, number one, you can't just lose your culture. And they lost their culture last season, even though they kept winning, they still had major cultural issues.
Yeah, they had a swagger about them, but it wasn't the measured upward trajectory swagger. It was a we've earned everything already.
Well, that and it was a gun waving like
well,
crazy.
That too.
Yeah, I mean, a culture of zero accountability.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Where a player's dad is fighting Shannon Sharpe on the sidelines.
Crazy.
Like, the whole thing is just ridiculous. And, you know, from my point of view, like, we're seeing what Dylan Brooks has meant to the Houston Rockets.
Yeah.
And he's a very, very solid veteran, although he can be a little squirrely on the court. Like, overall, I think he does bring an attitude and an accountability to players, you know, the people around him. He also brought a toughness, and they bring in Marcus Smart. Of course, he misses a whole most of the season.
Yeah.
But it just feels like their time came and already went. And for me,
interesting,
they were so much better with Steven Adams on the court than when with him off the court.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's gone. You know, you just jettisoned him. And like, I don't even know if Steven Adams is going to play again. I mean, he's basically going to be out a year and a half now with a knee issue.
Yeah.
Who knows if he'll actually be able to return and play and be a meaningful player in the NBA again. But that doesn't mean that they have someone ready to replace him.
Mm-hmm.
And so their next man up mentality, like, it's been tested and it's brutal to watch. So
yeah, I definitely get that to an extent. But I also think if you're putting Ja Morant on the court with Desmond Bane, and if G.G. Jackson continues his ascent, and you get Marcus Smart healthy, there's a potential culture piece that can rein that in some while also helping the team continue improving on the court. Jaren Jackson Jr., whatever you think of him, we'll talk about him later, but he's fine and probably a good starting center. So I think they have enough there to be interesting.
Okay.
And I think Ja could be kind of the rising tide that lifts all boats. He's just such a singularly electric player that I think he just makes everybody around him better. And maybe they're not going to be a perennial 50-win team like it looked like they were going to be, but I definitely think they're going to be a factor once he comes back. There's too many quality players there for me to think like, I just don't.
Yeah, but I mean, I think they're starting over. That's what it looks like to me. So, I mean, like, we have starting lineups written down for tonight.
Sure.
I have no idea who's starting at point guard for
the Grizzlies will send five guys out.
They're going to send... I mean, we do know that Desmond Bane, G.G. Jackson, Antti Aldama, and...
Maybe it'll be Jordan Goodwin?
Jaren Jackson. No, that's probably a good guess. But, they're a mess, man. I don't know what to say. Every time you look at their roster, there's someone else, like... I don't even know who Dejan Giroux is. Like, I don't know who that is. And Wenyen Gabriel is there. You know, we love Wenyen.
Wenyen.
Sacramento Kings legend, Wenyen Gabriel.
The game changer.
One of the nicest young dudes you're ever going to meet. Like, very, very thoughtful, very nice. But anyway, like, this team is a mess. Like, and when you're preparing for a team like this, it's difficult because you don't know where their points are going to come from. G.G. Jackson's a player, though. I like him. He's
he can
super,
hoop, dude.
Super young.
He can hoop. He just turned 19.
Yeah,
he turned 19 in December.
Yeah.
That's great. He played basketball as an 18-year-old in the NBA. That's pretty wild.
It's wild.
Hey, outside of Derrick Rose, so remove Derrick Rose, the Grizzlies don't have a single player over the age of 30.
Wow.
Check that. Nope. Marcus Smart just turned 30.
Oh, okay.
So Marcus Smart just turned 30, and he's their oldest guy not named Derrick Rose.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I think the Kings only have three.
Yeah, they don't have that many old guys either.
No, they just have, did Alex Len turn 30 yet? JaVale.
JaVale's.
And Harrison Barnes. JaVale's 35, yeah.
JaVale's super old.
I mean, the Kings, they do have a young roster.
Yeah, Alex Len's almost 31.
Yeah, he's almost 31. So, but still, like, the core of your team, main players, only one of them is 30.
I believe that the Grizzlies next year are going to be a factor in the West playoff race.
Okay.
Far more than they've been this year, obviously.
Yeah, well, and I certainly think at the bottom of the West, you could see teams that are ready to fall off, like, very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even, like, the Lakers are holding on right now, but, like, who knows what they look like next year. The Golden State Warriors, you know, just not great.
No idea what they look like in the next two or three.
Yeah, and then you're going to have teams like the Houston Rockets that are making that OKC, trying to make that OKC jump, and a team like this. Maybe even the Utah Jazz when... You know,
maybe
Keontae George and, you know, like some of their pieces start filling in and growing into their roles.
Yeah. Who's your matchup of the game?
Man, I think it's Keegan Murray versus GG Jackson.
That's a fun one.
Yeah, it's a fun one because I don't know who the Kings are going to. I assume Kevin Herter's going to start on Desmond Bane. I don't like that matchup.
Nope.
For the Kings. And so for me, Keegan versus GG Jackson, like, look, bully him a little bit. He's young. He's slight of frame. Like, you can go at him. I want to see Keegan grow up a little bit here.
That'd be nice. Yeah. I don't know if I'm banking on it, but it would definitely be nice to see. And that's a matchup I think the Kings have to win if they're going to do what they need to be doing against the Grizzlies and winning handily. But we will continue diving into that. We'll talk about Keegan Murray and some more matchups, and we'll get your keys to victory coming up in a bit on ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Leader.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
I want to talk about officiating real quick.
Yeah?
Yeah, because I think there's a... Like, the NBA... there's clearly, like, a problem. NBA officials are not doing that good of a job. Are they doing the best job of any humans that would have the jobs on the planet? Like, 100%. It's just really hard to officiate the sport now.
Mm-hmm.
The way it's played and how big and fast players are. It's the same thing. We have the same problem in football. We're having the same problem in Major League Baseball. Just kind of how it is. And now we see the leagues trying to incorporate technology to help out their officials. And I think there's this effort, right, with replay to not overdo it where it's affecting the flow of games and you're, you know, everything's reviewed now. So after every play, there's a review and this and that. I get that they're trying not to fall down that slope.
Mm-hmm.
But there needs to be some kind of line. There needs to be some kind of, I don't know if it's like a time limit where when there's a review, you go to a 60-second commercial, and if your review is not done in those 60 seconds, then you know what? You couldn't figure it out. It play on. Or whatever it is. But here's my problem, James. Sorry.
No, we're all right.
Here's my problem. Warriors-Lakers the other night. I was listening to that in the car on the way from a wedding venue to the second location for this wedding. I was in the car for 18 minutes, and I heard maybe 15 seconds of game time. Because there was a review for a LeBron James 3 where he may or may not have been out of bounds. And so they eventually review that. They took a while to figure that out. Okay, they wipe off the 3 points for the Lakers. Then there's a play where it looked like, I think it was Draymond Green saved the ball from going out of bounds, or Wiggins or whoever it was, but actually his toe was kind of on the line, so hang on, got to review that. By the time all the reviews are done, the Lakers go to inbound the ball because it was out on the Warriors. Oh, the shot clock's not working. Okay, stop everything. Got to go over and get the shot clock reset and working again. It was insane. All for, like, millimeters of shoe on the boundary where they had to stop it and do the zoom. Meanwhile, that can all be reviewed. That can all be looked at. That stopping the game doesn't matter. Let's head to Sacramento. Same night. 54 seconds left? 51? Less than a minute left.
57.
Less than a minute left. Domantas Sabonis gets whacked in the face a couple times, two, three times. Gets fouled multiple times. Turns it over. There's no review there because because you're not going to, obviously, there's no call. So there's not going to be a stoppage to go, wait, did we miss a call there? But that can't be reviewed in real time.
There's no call because there's no foul.
There's no recourse for it, right?
Yeah, there's no recourse. And that, to me, is the biggest thing. It's such an embarrassment. There needs to be, you know, we have yellow and red flags here.
We do.
At ESPN 1320. Mm-hmm. We can throw a flag on each other.
Yes.
Like, how can there not be, how is it that you only get to call something,
mm-hmm.
you only get to review something if there's a call made, but you can't review a bad call that didn't get called?
Right. I don't understand.
It doesn't make any sense. And even, like, I know, like, the Knicks came out in the third quarter. Maybe it was fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. Jalen Brunson quickly, two baskets, boom, boom.
Mm-hmm.
One of them, I guess he steps out of bounds completely
mm-hmm.
and there's no call, right? Like, the overall officiating isn't good.
It's bad.
And, like, there's one official that everyone wants. You want Zach Zarba calling your game. Outside of that, like, I don't know who you want, because we were talking about, like, who is it that you want to, like, have be part of your conversation? Like, who is it that you want to call your game on a given night? It's certainly not Tony Brothers.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's a bunch of guys that just aren't good at all. And so I don't think they're intentionally bad. And I certainly think that the league, whether they want to admit it or not, has put a mandate right now on the game being completely called in a different way than it was the rest of the season, which is weird. Like, mm-hmm. you should not just change midstream how you're calling a game. But this is what they do in the playoffs. So, but the problem is that when you get to the playoffs, it's the best of your best officials.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what we're doing right now.
Mm-hmm.
This is not your best of the best. Like, there's the one official that, like, earlier in the season threw out Nikola Jokic.
Oh, yeah. What's his name?
Right. And I can't remember his name. And, like, someone had done the research, and in his 17-year career, he'd called one playoff series. So the league already knows he's not good. Like, it's not like there's a question about it. He's a low-rated official. He doesn't get playoff games because he's not good. So I think more often than not, as someone who covered the Sacramento Kings, you understand that they don't usually get the cream of the crop. I know there's a rotation and all that stuff, but you feel like part of the rotation just doesn't come to Sacramento.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I think that there should be a way for a coach to throw a red flag or hit a giant button on the side that looks similar to like an easy button, mm-hmm. or the button that they hit to light the beam.
Yeah.
And say, no, that was a foul. Stop the game and go look at it. That was a foul.
So I get, right, you should be able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But if that's the case, and every time there's a turnover, a coach is going to be like, wait, no.
Yeah.
And you could effectively, if there's a legit turnover where a team's going to have a break, like a fast break,
mm-hmm.
and a coach could conceivably in that moment just be like, oh, I think there's a foul, and stop play that takes away an open layup. So I get why the league can't do that. But there needs to be... maybe it's just obliterating replay altogether. Maybe it's just taking it away entirely.
Okay.
But this whole... okay, we're going to review that LeBron stepped out a little bit, and that like I said, whichever Warriors player it was Draymond or Wiggins, I forget which one. But, oh, wait, he was also on the line a little bit, so we're going to review this, and we're going to take 14 minutes to figure it out.
That was egregious.
All of that, yeah. It took so long.
That should never be the case.
So there's all of that, but then there's also, I don't know if it's like an eye in the sky thing where it's somebody watching on TV who can be zoomed in.
Oh no, that is happening.
Getting that angle.
It's Sakakis.
Where they go, right, where they go, hang on, buzz down, stop everything. We're calling a foul from afar.
Mm-hmm.
You guys missed it. Ref didn't have an angle on it, didn't see it, was watching the ball, was watching X, Y, and Z, because they're watching a million things. I get it. There needs to be something there. If you're going to have replay, if your goal is going to be to get calls right, and you're like, you know what? Pace doesn't matter, time doesn't matter. Our number one thing is making sure that the calls are right. Then that needs to go for, yeah, because it's goaltending too.
Oh, yeah.
If there's a goaltend that doesn't get called, you cannot review that it was a goaltend even if it was obvious. Same thing with fouls. So it's either, to me, that you have two options. There's one, a launch replay into the sun. Say forget it.
Yep.
This is stupid. We're going to go with it. And if there's bad calls, there's bad calls. Or you risk the potential, yeah, hey, we're taking a layup off the board for this team because we think there was a foul. And if there wasn't, you know, tough, you just get the ball in the front court. Then I don't know what the answer is.
Well, look.
But it's becoming too much of a problem to not do anything.
No, I totally get it. I mean, you can't get the officials to learn how to talk into the microphone when they're explaining a foul call.
Except for
Bill Kennedy.
Bill Kennedy
can do it, that means that everyone else should be able to hold the button down, talk into a microphone, and explain their call,
mm-hmm.
and not have it be where an official has to have it like translated. Yeah. The other thing that kills me too, a ball goes out of bounds. Mm-hmm. You can test to see who the ball went out of bounds off of. But what you can't do is call a foul when a guy egregiously whacks somebody's arm and then the ball falls out of bounds.
Yes.
So what you can do is on an offensive foul, there can be an offensive foul added in a specific play, like a charge, right? But you can't call a foul if a ball goes out of bounds off a player and you go to review if the out of bounds is off the player. Okay, it's off the player, but he literally was clubbed. No, yeah. You can't. Sorry, we can't do anything about that.
Mm-hmm.
So like the rules of it,
it doesn't make sense.
There's no common sense logic that goes into it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that it needs to be dealt with. Like, just make it a common sense rule. And then also, like, you should be able to review whether you botched a play.
I agree.
Like if you botched a bad foul call, mm-hmm. go back and look at it.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
I think there's an efficiency problem here.
Oh, yeah.
Where you can't, because the quote-unquote solution would be, yeah, hey, if you think there's a foul, whistle it, and while we're getting to the line, we'll have somebody look at it and go, hey, you know what? That guy threw his head back. He flopped. There was no contact there. Oh, okay. Other turnover, other team's ball, moving along.
Yeah.
Like, that would be the way to do it, but that would require time and money, and that ends game flow, and now you got whistles all over the place. They're never going to do it. I think the big problem with refs is, I don't know that refs are necessarily getting worse. I think we're just getting better access. And fans are smarter now than they've ever been. And B, we have better camera angles and
that's
and
what it is.
Television.
It's the camera angles.
And
Kyle,
we can now see how many calls are being missed. It's not just one camera angle. Hey, it's at center court and that's where the camera is. And you can't see way down on the floor that, oh, that guy got hacked. But now there's a slow motion replay and you can see that it brushed their arm. You're going, wow, he missed that call. That's crazy. Come on, man.
Look,
just hoop. Let's go play.
I think it's wild, especially the NFL, the 1 yard line from the 1 yard line in.
Mm-hmm.
Like I've watched football my entire life. I've watched decades of football.
Mm-hmm.
Like Marcus Allen never got tackled inside the one. He always made it to the end zone. Mm-hmm. We're to go back and review that now with modern technology. I'm going to guess that Marcus Allen was probably down at the 3 inch line.
Yeah.
Like 47 times. Just wipe out half of his touchdowns.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that's what it is now. You're like, oh, there's no way he's not in. And now you're like, oh, yeah.
You start seeing it.
You're like, oh, no, he's not down.
Yeah.
I mean, he's down.
Yep.
Before, we didn't have the camera angles. Now we have the camera angles to, like, there's, like we were talking about earlier, there are 19 cameras.
That's so many cameras in one arena.
Filming the arena, filming the court. And there's also a wall in Secaucus, New Jersey, has every single camera that's live, that's by a broadcast team. Every single camera feeds into one giant wall. And like I was even told one time, hey, like you've never said anything bad, just so you know. But just so you know, like every time that you're up for a live shot and it's on the court, we hear everything from start to finish. Like the second you walk in front of that camera, the second you plug in your IFB, you're live. We hear everything. So the whole hot mic thing, they're like, we just want you to know, like, hey, like if there's any time that you said something, like we would hear it. And like I had never said anything that would be inappropriate or anything, but it is there. Like they're hearing it all. It's all sitting there on their screen. They see your picture. And I have people like, oh yeah, I was in the room with all the TVs.
Yeah.
It, like it's so awesome to see you on TV, like in the room I see you. And I'm like, well, thanks. Like, and hey, just so you know, don't ever say anything because it's all like it's all recorded.
That's
it's
crazy.
We hear all of it. It's like, oh wow.
That is bananas. That's
it
so
is.
Terrifying.
It is wild.
I'm never speaking at a basketball game ever again.
There are so many things that people don't know that happen. Like
although speaking of hot mics, the worst thing that Matt George could have told me, because frequently you sit to my left, I sit here, and then Matt George is to my right. The worst thing Matt could have told me is that the mic is live on his camera when he's shooting his low angle footage for ABC.
But does he use it?
No, he doesn't use the audio.
Yeah.
But the because now I just make fun of Matt the whole time.
Oh, got it.
I just talk to his bosses.
Oh, that's
just
spectacular.
Make sure I'm like, Matt is screwing around, guys. He's not doing a good job. It's great.
Yeah.
It's
I do like do. Because I sit between two cameras. It's him and then Sean.
Yeah.
And they all do the same. They do the same thing, which is something that Sean taught Matt.
Mm-hmm.
He's filming. They watch a play. Plays over. They look up at they flash up to the scoreboard so they can capture the moment.
Yes.
And then back down to the action.
Yeah.
And it's really crazy to watch.
Yeah.
So
they do a good job.
Yeah.
Replay. Here's the real solution. Because a lot of this stuff is money.
Mm-hmm.
The NFL could fix a lot of its officiating problems. You know, the throw over the middle, safety comes down, shoulder to chest, receiver's head flies back. They're like, hey, helmet to helmet contact, whatever, and it's 15 yards. It's really easy to have somebody in the building watching on TV. They get a replay and they go, oh, nope, good hit. Hey, buzz it down. Hey, not a foul.
Yeah.
Before they get everything sorted out, they wouldn't even have the ball moved yet. And they'd be able to buzz down and go, oh, picking up the flag, clean hit, good to go.
Well,
but
just,
they won't do that because then you have to pay somebody to do that. And I'm sure there's an officials union that doesn't want their guys being told they're wrong in real time or whatever.
Scrutinized,
yeah. But dude, I know that part of it is a money thing. If you want, pick however many, what are the maximum amount of games? 15 in a night? Yeah, 15. 15 games in a night, maximum amount. Hire 15 dudes, pay them whatever, just basketball fans.
Mm-hmm.
Like you can have a second job. You can just pull up and watch basketball. You're going to be assigned a game tonight. And when there's a bad call, you're on the horn. Yep, nope. Sabonis got hit in the face there. Stop everything. Sabonis got hit in the face. All right. Hey.
Okay.
March it back. Timeout on the floor. We got call in. There's a foul.
I think the pace of play in the NBA makes it so difficult.
But that's why you have basketball fans do it.
No, that's
because
true.
Basketball fans understand. It'll be the difference between like, oh, hey, that guy was trying to sell a call, and hey, that's a huge play in this game. That's a bad no call. You got to, because there's a time for it.
It's wild because
pace of play?
You know the NFL now pays somebody to watch all the players on the field, and if they see somebody who's in trouble, who has a potential mm-hmm. concussion problem,
yes,
they can hit a button and stop the game and say, yes. no, 53 is a little wobbly on his mm-hmm. when he stood up. I need you to go and do a neurological test.
Right.
So why can't we do some of this
stuff?
We have the technology. Yeah. That, and why can't you review like a late hit?
I have no idea.
Some of the things that you
I have
can't
no
review,
idea.
Like it would really clean up a lot of the stuff.
Right. Why would you not be able to look at that?
Yeah. I mean.
I don't get it.
Throw the red flag because they review all of the other stuff now.
Yeah.
Like every touchdown, every turnover is reviewed like ad nauseum.
And you still only get, what is it, max 3 in the NFL? If you get your first two right, you get a third one. So it's only 3. You still have to use them strategically. It's not like it's going to stop the game.
Yeah. I guess the other thing we could do, Kyle, somebody brings up Madden. What if we allowed Madden to have a reffing portion?
Oh,
where you could actually
officiate Madden games?
You could just officiate Madden games.
Hmm.
And then you could be building like a whole new group of potential.
We could call it, let's see, Hockley.
Oh, yeah.
Hockley 24.
Hoculean. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
I love it.
Bottom line is that was a little bit of a separate conversation. I think it's a little worrying that the Kings went into a game against a team that plays a very physical brand of basketball.
Mm-hmm.
A playoff brand of basketball, if you will. You're all the time with NFL teams. Oh, this team's built for January. This is a defense run game. They are going to be tough to beat in January. That's kind of, I think, the type of thing the Knicks are trying to build. And that's the type of team Tom Thibodeau wants to build. It's just a tough, gritty. I worry a little bit that, and I think you have a separate view on this, but to me, it's worrying that the Kings ran into a team like that and scored 91 points. Their offense has not been the problem, specifically since the All-Star break. Their offense has been very good, but they run into a team like this and can't get it going. That's troubling to me.
Okay, so the problem is, you know, because we did ask in postgame, like, are there other teams that play like this?
Mm-hmm.
And I think Malik Monk said, yeah, like, Minnesota plays a little bit like this. Like, they named a couple of teams that are physical and slow the game down, and they're trying not to get into a track meet. The problem is that those teams, like, if you're going to play a 7-game series, it's great that they can do that for one or two games, but they can't do it the whole time.
Right.
And, you know, again, the Warriors played really good really good defense against the Kings for stretches last year.
Mm-hmm.
The Kings played really good defense against the Warriors for stretches. Mm-hmm. That's just, you can't take out the outlier. Like, that's what the NBA is nothing but, it's based on the outlier
mm-hmm.
as a sport. And so it didn't matter how good the Kings played defensively. Jalen Brunson happened.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they scored 98. He scored 42. He scored almost half their points.
They did a really good job.
And it wasn't even something that you could do. You know, like, I joked around with Mike about the screen, that Keon Ellis thought a screen was coming, turned his head for 1 second. Jalen Brunson blew by him, and it was over. Right? Those are things that happen in a game, but there's no way to, like, control some of that stuff. And I think with like slowing the Kings down, that's fine for one night. That wouldn't happen in a 7-game series. It might happen 2 games. It might happen 3 games, but you're not going to do it every single game. Mm-hmm. And that's where I would point to. Like, look, I thought that was a great game for the Kings
Very
to
good.
Understand. This is what the playoffs look like.
But they know that. They were there last year.
They were, but they were there and they were like bright lights, big city. They were overwhelmed. They were, you know, like, they played a team that had been to the champion, that had won the championship the year before.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, it's like, hey, they understood, like, this is going to be different. But then when you're experiencing it in real time, it's just a different vibe. So I think they'll be better this year. I think getting a reminder late in the season that this is what Smash Mouth playoff basketball looks like. And again, I think that they'll be just fine.
Man, I hope so.
Yeah.
I figured the Knicks would be a tough matchup, but that was, I don't know. They played them tough. They played them close.
Yeah.
We said going in, like, man, these are two pretty evenly matched teams. That's what it was.
Yeah.
And the Knicks pulled away late, and that was just kind of the difference.
But again, it
was closer than 7 points.
That's where it was. It was 94-91 when Sabonis gets hit in the face.
Right.
And it should have been a foul call. He should have gone to the line. You could have made it a 93-94 game.
Mm-hmm.
And then who knows what happens down the stretch.
Right.
But then desperation takes over. And the fact that the Kings couldn't shoot the three all that well, that was a big time problem.
Yeah.
You know, it just was. So
tough night for OG, too. Yikes.
Yeah. Oof. Talk about not looking like he's ready to be out there at all.
Yeah.
Oof. I mean, gritty to play. And what did he play? 33 minutes, something like that?
Yeah.
But
that right elbow is not right.
No.
Yeah.
No, not right at all.
Yeah. And Josh Hart's the man. I love Josh Hart.
He's a guy that so many times the Kings should have tried to get him.
Yeah.
I mean, like, just talk about a dude who just gets it. Like, he's so good, not only defensively, but as a rebounder. For a dude who's 6'4" to go out there and just dominate the glass, it's just shocking.
Yeah. All right. We got to hit a break. I want to keep talking about this game. We've also got some scoreboard watching. Some intriguing things happened around the NBA last night. We'll tell you what they were next on ESPN 1320. Clear.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
I'm John Aran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.